Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is here. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, and I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. It is a beautiful victory Monday, and we are here solo. No Lee DeCamper. He's traveling back from the game in New Orleans. And Ira, we got to get down and dirty on this game here, but how are you, buddy?
The only thing better than being 6-2 is being 8-0, Steve. And that's me picking Buck games. I'm on a heater, so to speak. However, the next three games look challenging and difficult to predict. I don't think you could ever imagine a bye week coming at a better time than the Bucs, considering their physical nature and the way the schedule is laid out. This sets them up for a tough three-game gauntlet. And if they get through it, Steve, we're looking at playoff seeding.
Yeah, the bye week is big for the gauntlet. So the gauntlet, Sage, New England at home, at Buffalo, at the Rams on Sunday Night Football. So yes, the bye week comes perfectly for that. But I think number one, because we don't know about the real injuries and all the mystery with Gedeky and
Godwin
and Bucky Irving, Jason Light on the Buccaneers radio network Sunday afternoon said, quote, we would be getting players trickling back after the bye. What that means, I don't know.
Might be talking about Michael Jordan, not Bucky Irving.
Who knows what he's talking about? But Baker Mayfield, Ira, second game in a row, he didn't look sharp. And second game in a row, he didn't run at all. There's no rushing attempt on the stat sheet. That is not an accident.
That's indicative.
Exactly. It shows that he is banged up. We know that he's been banged up. And it makes sense because look at his style of play. And we've seen him take shots.
And he's not throwing the ball particularly well.
And he's not sharp. So I think the bye week, he's going to get his, quote, body people in, which he's got a guy who comes in, works on him. He's going to get the rest.
Can I have that body person over there, Stevie?
I was like, is her name Estelle or Ruth?
Victoria? Yeah, you know.
BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Curry's the family name. That is where you want to shop for a vehicle immediately. Ford truck. Maybe it's a lease. They've got zero money down leases.
Jeep, an Escape, which I can vouch for.
An Explorer, Mustang, whatever it is, the legendary F-150. They've got incredible lease deals, zero money down, but also if you're buying a vehicle, no money down, no payments for 90 days, zero interest financing. There's all kinds of other certified pre-owned vehicles.
My son's loving his F-150 up in Ohio, Steve. He loves it.
He bought it at Bill Curry Ford. Lee's got a Bill Curry Ford truck. You've got your 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. I actually have two vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. Ira, one is my 2017 that I bought in 2019. Still rolling. Anyway, BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com.
Not to talk even about the service department, also on top of that.
The mobile service, they'll do service at your home. You schedule mobile service, no extra charge still. That'll change eventually, but mobile service, go on the website. You can schedule that.
You sip your cup of coffee, and they're in your driveway working on your vehicle. You can't beat that.
Now, the current specials are coming to an end, so you got to get there. You got to reach out to Sean Sullivan, GM at Bill Curry Ford, our draft guru. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount. Just mention it, and he'll help you.
You said they had more than 600 vehicles at the dealership, Steve.
Last time I checked, but that's usually the stock. It's in that neighborhood. So check them out. A mile north of the stadium on Del Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. 65 years, family owned. And we'll talk a little later about Florida's elite restoration. 5-star Google reviews across the board. If you've got storm damage, mold, fire, flood damage, whatever it is, you call them immediately. I just referred somebody over there, Ira. Got a text and looking for a mold guy. They were putting an addition on their house. And oh no, when they took a wall out, they found a nightmare. So
termites or anything? Or mold?
No, just mold. Just a tremendous amount of mold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, Sage, the Buccaneers in New Orleans, the defense, we've said it all along that, you know, the defense isn't that great, but they've got so many playmakers.
Didn't play badly in Detroit. Didn't play badly
no.
in the defense.
No, they made a lot of plays, gave up yardage, but made a lot of plays and kept the Bucs in the game, kept it from being a national embarrassment. And here we saw a more relentless defensive situation coming from all angles.
Against two different quarterbacks.
They made a lot of plays. They were the ball hawks that Todd Bowles has been looking for. The Bucs are like fifth in the league in forcing turnovers. They're getting it done, and it all started with Mr. Nelson.
You cannot overestimate Nelson's play and when it happened and how it turned the whole game around. They never trailed after that point. It was scoreless. And they had just done this dynamic goal line stand. And the Bucks were, you know, kicking themselves. Bowles might have had a few things to say to Grizzard. I hope he did, because it showed total lack of imagination on Grizzard's part. Am I willing to cut him slack for being a first-year play caller? Well, now it's midseason. I'm not cutting you any more slack. Four runs between the guards? What are you doing? You know, let Vita Vea carry the ball, for goodness sakes. So anyway, New Orleans had all the momentum, Steve. All the momentum. The crowd was into it. Brilliant goal line stand. You don't see it that often with four cracks. Maybe five cracks with the penalty, you know, the first play. And then the one-handed pick. I mean, just a fabulous play by Nelson. You've always been an Anthony Nelson guy, Steve. You say he's a very valuable reserve, and it's hard to argue against that over the years. He gets his five sacks, Steve, in limited playing time. He was the best player on the field by far yesterday. Winfield may be number two. Game ball absolutely goes to Anthony Nelson, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, career game for Nelson. And, you know, I've been an Anthony Nelson guy for many years because he's just solid. You want guys like that on your team. But I don't think people should get confused, and I've heard some confusion out there. Look, he's not a starting stud caliber edge rusher. Doesn't mean he's not going to have good games, and he's made plays through his career. I'm not knocking him, but he's not the guy. In his seventh year, he's not some hidden gem that we're just finding
out
about.
However, Steve, with the overall pass rush picking up markedly in the last 3 weeks, I wonder if that's going to affect how Jason Light may approach the trade deadline in terms of adding a pass rusher. He might say we're good, and he's going to run it past Bowles, and Bowles might say, I think we're okay. That might be a mistake, but things have changed a little bit in the pass rush department.
Nelson deserves all the commendation. Hopefully he can string it together. Braswell didn't get to play a ton in meaningful action, and he also didn't do much the other day, but otherwise, I mean, it was relentless. All the stuff we love. Some brilliant blitzes, and they just smothered them.
And the secondary was outstanding, Steve. Really
yep.
good.
Tighter coverage. What a novel idea.
And Dean's playing out of his mind, Steve.
Yeah.
Big
forced fumble. Winfield looking like 2023 Winfield. What do you think of Winfield? Last podcast, you called him out.
I did.
For saying, hey,
I said, I don't notice you enough.
Play to your contract was the Sage's comment.
I thought he had a lot more jump in his game yesterday. Should have scored, did score. You know, we'll be talking about that play. Imagine if the Bucks would have lost that game. That's all we would have been talking about. Now it's a footnote in NFL history. But the Zebras did the Bucks no favors yesterday. And by the way, Steven, Buck fans aren't going to want to hear it. You know, you love it when I preface something like Buck fans don't want to hear it. But the Saints were awful. The Saints played a horrible game the last three quarters. Just horrible. Penalties everywhere. Steve, what are you doing? Stupid penalties. Just out of sync. And they don't go to Kamara. What are you doing with Kamara? I mean, the guy's got a big contract. He's not a bad player, Steve. He's not 27 anymore. But I think that was your best chance to hang in there against the Bucks, and the game was not out of hand. Absolutely not. The Bucks had 7 points through the first half.
Yeah, and they never really tested Kamara by throwing to him in the flats.
I don't get it. That's the Bucks' vulnerability.
Yeah, where Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson busted him up in the flats, and they hadn't necessarily proven they were great tacklers out there, and they never threw a ball like that to Kamara. So thank you, Saints. Now, I do have to note, I write every game day, Ira, a Buccaneers betting the Bucks feature. I've got a winning record. I'm up money. I actually post
against the spread, Steve?
Against the spread, but most of them are strictly prop bets. More than three catches for this guy, that kind of stuff like that. And because that's where usually the best value is, or you can use your information. And my best bet of this past game was Alvin Kamara getting over 24 and a half yards. Now, they threw it to him twice.
24 yards from scrimmage?
24 receiving yards. So that was my best bet. He had two catches for 24 yards.
Wow.
With about 27 minutes left in the game. And they never threw him another pass.
Wow.
Never threw him another pass.
So, and you know who's playing better, Steve? Otten. Otten's doing some good things. He is. I got to give him credit. He's making some tough catches.
He's looking like the guy who...
He's breaking tackles.
Yeah, so he's really come on in a big way. Now, I think the Saints, you could say they were awful, but it's really a question of how you want to view this. Now, 2 weeks in a row, the Buccaneers have made a defense the opposition's defense look a lot better than it actually is. Now, listen to this number, Ira. I did this just for you. The Buccaneers, I'm sure you noticed this, Ira. It's almost impossible to fathom. But the Bucs had 212 yards.
That's disgraceful.
Of offense, and they won in a blowout.
Yeah.
23-3.
212 yards. Come on.
212 yards. The last time the Saints defense had allowed less than 300 yards was opening day, week one. They allowed 276 to Arizona. But in the six games prior to Sunday, they were averaging, allowing 345 yards a game.
It's good research, Steve.
So the all
did
of a sudden,
take a calculator out for that, or did you do it with pencil and paper?
Old school, baby.
Not too many good numbers.
So here come the Bucks, and all of a sudden the Saints defense looks incredible. Bucks go to Detroit, and a bunch of backups look like Hall of Famers covering the Bucks. There's a problem there with the offense. What's going on?
The first thing I'd look at, they're not running the ball well, Steve. They're just not. There were times earlier this year when they weren't running the ball well. Then they got into a little groove, maybe 2-3 weeks, and now nothing. 3 yards a carry, nothing explosive at all. Irvin can't get back quick enough, and who knows when the hell this guy's coming back. If he's not back for the New England game, there's trouble. This is not supposed to be a lingering injury, Steve. We thought it was a 1 or 2 week thing. So we'll see what happens with New England, who happens to be the only team in the league, Steve. You want research? I'll give you research. The only team in the league that has a better road record than the Tampa Bay Bucks are the New England Patriots. They're 4-0. The Bucks are 4-1.
So Irving missed his fourth game on Sunday.
That's big.
Now, prior to that, we talked about on the podcast, the Bucks had a 12-game streak going back to last year of 100 yards rushing or more. That led the NFL. Then the last four games, they're averaging about 75 yards a game. 3 out of 4, they've been less than 100.
Third downs haven't been good, Steve.
So I don't know what's going on with the running game. All of a sudden, it's no longer innovative. All of a sudden, they can't run behind Wirfs or 1 yard at the goal line. That goal line situation, Ira, really troubled me because...
Why are you running behind Dan Feeney? I don't understand that.
Well, you know what?
Dan Feeney got trampled, and so did Barton. Barton did not have a good
Barton
game.
Barton got blown up.
Wirfs had a bad game.
Wirfs had a shockingly bad game for him. But you know what? So they had 8 tries from the 1 yard line, and the 8th try, they actually ran behind Feeney and got in. Finally, you know, they got the score on the second drive. But what really troubled me a bit, Ira, is that, you know what? That first time that they got all the first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, fourth and goal from the 1, you know what? Todd Bowles and your...
not sure it was from the 1. It might have been the half-yard line.
Yeah,
the half-yard line.
And your guy up in the sky... Well, again, they got lost quarter yard here, whatever. Call a timeout after it fails twice. Think about it. Get Mayfield's opinion.
Get the 7. You need 7.
Get Mayfield's opinion. Maybe let your O-line take a breather. And, you know, one of the big advantages an O-line has is hearing the snap count, right? If they can hear it clearly, and it's hard to hear there... Maybe you get everybody on
the
same page.
That's not wasting a timeout.
No.
That's a strategic timeout.
Yeah. So Bowles just watched it all crumble. I couldn't believe they didn't call a timeout there. Just to gather themselves, let Mayfield have some input. But you know what? 4 runs in a row, they didn't get it. And you know, that speaks to will and talent and heart. And nobody dove over the top. That doesn't exist anymore. And I think the biggest tell, like we talked about early in the podcast, that Mayfield is injured is that... There was no quarterback sneak.
Not even an attempt.
No, and that Baker Mayfield, if he was healthy...
He's doing the dive.
Somewhere in there, he's saying, give me the damn ball.
Yeah.
So we learned a lot about the Bucs in those goal line situations. What did you think of the passing on the goal line, those couple that they tried?
They almost had no chance, Steve. Fade passes. Did somebody think Mike Evans was still in the game, Steve, that he was on the field rather than being inactive? You throw a fade pass to Mike Evans. That's what you do. You don't throw it to... Sterling Shepard or whoever. It might have been Ibuka at one time.
Yeah, it was Shepard, and then Ibuka, they threw a 50-50 ball. He wasn't open.
It was the left corner, right?
Yeah,
left corner. Kool-Aid was playing he was playing good defense. I give it to him. But no imagination, Steve. No imagination.
And I got to say this, Ira. We've heard from the Bucks. This is our third year now with Payne Durham on the roster. We've seen him make a couple of good catches. But we always hear in the offseason.
Supposed to be a third, a red zone
what
threat.
A red zone target. 6'7", good hands, paying this, paying that. Where the hell was he? I don't understand it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Josh Grizzard is going to just come out eventually and say, you know, I kind of froze and we hit this.
They should wear out the film on that goal line, those two goal lines. Wear it out in the next week and get your act together. So what? It's going to hurt them in the future if they don't.
What do you think's going on with Tristan Wirfs? You chalk it up to just a bad day and hard to hear the snap count and.
Well, it's going to be hard to, you know, the way he's playing. I don't see an All-Pro, another All-Pro in his future this year. I mean, he's young enough and he's going to get more, but not this year. I'm not going to vote for him unless he turns things around. I didn't think he played that well the last week or the week before that either. By now, I think he should be in a rhythm. I didn't see Trey Hendrickson up opposing him or J.J. Watt. I didn't see Miles Garrett out there.
Or Anthony Nelson.
Am I worried about him? No, because it's Tristan Wirfs, one of their best players, if not their best player, arguably. But he had a bad game. He did have a bad game. And I think he knows it.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com, Ira. That's the website. Put it in your phone after you visit and understand what they do, because that's who you call when you have a crisis at your home or your business 24/7. They'll give you a free inspection.
Big storm came in today, Steve. You never know.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw some serious winds, and my garbage pail was down the street. I don't know if that qualifies as a disaster, Ira, but I didn't feel like running after it. Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin, he's got $500 for you. If you mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman when you first call, they'll give you an inspection. And after the inspection, which is free, if you sign on for their restoration services, they'll give you $500 cash back. And they've got 5-star Google reviews across the board. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area. Just be smart. Call someone you can trust. They've got decades of experience on the insurance side of the business, so they know how to work the angles, and they can explain it to you in great detail before anything happens. So Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, 6-2.
Fabulous.
A little perspective here. The Bucks were 6-2 with Tom Brady in 2021, and they were 6-2 with the Super Bowl team.
That's right.
In 2002. That's it. You can look back farther, but I don't think I didn't go into the 70s there, but
I didn't check the 79 team that started 5-0. I didn't check it, but
that's how good this is going here. And you know, the fans need to realize that this is very special what's happening right now.
And I think a great day all around. The two competitors, if you want to call them that, from the division, both got destroyed. Not competitive at all. San Francisco lost. I know the Bucks have the tiebreaker, but they were 5-2, so that's a loss. You know, the Eagles win. Okay. Green Bay wins. Green Bay is becoming a problem. I think they're the only team in the conference with a better record than the Bucks. They're 5-1-1, so technically by a percentage, that's better than the Bucks. And then crazy Indianapolis in the AFC. I mean, who would have thought? By the way, you know, I vote for the big postseason awards right now, and I said this about Mayfield 3 weeks ago. I said right now I'm going to vote for Mayfield. Right now, I would vote for Jonathan Taylor. I would. I'd vote for Jonathan Taylor. I know he's not a quarterback, and you got quarterbacks out there that are doing a great job. But Taylor's having one of those Adrian Peterson years, and he's the last running back to win MVP. Now, Steve, here's a subtle angle on the Bucs being 6-2. Long way to go, but I think it's very likely that this is going to happen. And it doesn't happen very often. I think for the third year in a row, Todd Bowles will have a better record than he had the year before. That doesn't sound like a lot. But I think it is. He went from 8-9, from 9-10, and are they going to win more than 10 games? Well, they would have to be 5-4 to be 11-6.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I certainly would be disappointed, Steve, if they're not 5-4 or better. So I'll do some research on that, but I don't think it happens all the time under a coach where 3 years in a row he beats his previous record.
No, not at all, Sage. I actually did all the research for you late this last summer.
If he does it.
Yeah, he will join a very exclusive club. Chuck Knoll pulled it off in the early 70s.
Great coach, Chuck Knoll.
John McKay pulled it off with the Bucks after his horrible 76 winless season and improved 3 years in a row. And then Bill Parcells, Marv Levy, Jimmy Johnson all did it.
Now McKay was coming from zero. He's coming from zero.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He
absolutely
gets an asterisk.
Yeah. And a couple of others, it's you can look at it at
JoeBucksFan.com. But it's a fairly short list, Steve.
But no, it's a very difficult achievement. And like you said, he started at 8 wins.
Yeah, he didn't
so
start at zero.
He set the bar high. Yeah. It would be a huge accomplishment, but nobody cares about that right now because 11 wins at this point would be a terrible disappointment.
But Bowles has done a very good job this year.
Absolutely, and he's definitely in the coach of the year. I think he's got a better shot right now at Coach of the Year than Baker Mayfield does as
MVP. I would agree with that.
You know, Mayfield's really...
Maybe the front runner is the Indy guy. maybe Steichen or maybe Vrabel. Possibly
Vrabel. We'll see if the Bucks can knock him off in a couple of weeks. That'll be a big.
That'll be the Coach of the Year Bowl. We'll bill it as that, Steve.
I've had some fans reach out and ask if that game's going to get flexed. It's not going to get flexed. If you look, I forgot who's playing Sunday night, but it's not a game that the networks are going to move. So it's going to be 1 o'clock.
It can't be flexed to 4:25?
It's not in that game of the week window. They have these windows.
All right. Look, I don't mind the 1 o'clock starts.
It could, but I think it's going to stick at 1. And unfortunately, prepare yourselves. Going to have a million Patriots fans out there coming out of the
woodwork. Why should we accept that, Steve? Why is that acceptable?
Well, it's just the way it is.
It's Florida. You shrug your shoulders. It's Florida. That's what happens.
So two more things, Sage, because we don't want to go too deep without our buddy Lee.
Yeah,
here.
We're coming back with DeKemper later in the week.
We'll be back with DeKemper. We may even have
Sean Sullivan. You never know.
A very interesting surprise that's not Sean Sullivan that we're working on.
Nice.
Well, actually, we found out tomorrow. We can't talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
We forgot about that, Ira.
Yeah, you're right. I thought you were talking about Josh Martin or something. There you go.
Two things. Dan Feeney started at right guard. Now, the Bucs have now started. Earlier this season, we saw Elijah Klein play left guard, and then he disappeared. Went into witness protection. He obviously didn't like him. They used Mike Jordan at left guard. He played right guard in Detroit. Bowles was saying he played okay, but the fans who watched the film, like I did, saw some horrific pass blocking.
We've seen Haggard.
Haggard was good, but he hurt his shoulder. He started 4 games at right guard. Cody Mauch obviously is out for the year. And
so unlike Jordan and Haggard and Feeney, Klein is a Jason Light draft pick.
Correct.
So that's a serious distinction right there.
So Feeney's a guy who they pulled off the Bills practice squad a month ago. And
I didn't like the pass protection, Steve.
No,
I didn't like it.
But I haven't finished all the film yet, but Feeney was better than Jordan was, I think, on Monday night. And Todd Bowles mentioned him today. He said what he said was there were some issues on the offensive line, but I didn't see Feeney as an issue.
Something tells me that if Jordan had played better against Detroit, that he could have started. He could have started against the Saints.
Yeah.
He wasn't that injured.
So that leads me into our last topic here. And I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast, BillCurryFord.com. You think the Bucks might be looking at a guard at the trade deadline if they could get their hands on a guy that they feel is a veteran pass protector who's got...
Probably cost them a fifth or sixth round pick, right? It's possible. I'd be looking at a receiver, Steve. I think they need help. I think they need help till Evans gets back.
Do you think...
I don't know about Godwin and McMillan. I just don't know what's going on.
Nobody knows. The truth, anyway. The actual reality.
Are we going to have some clarity New England week? Are we? Are we going to have something?
Why would you expect clarity? Come on. First, it'll be when I see him run, I'll let you know. Then it'll be... It's day to day.
You want to win 2 out of the next 3 games, right, Steve? That's what you want.
You want to win them all. Obviously, the conference game is most important against the Rams. Tiebreaker implications. That's number 1. But number 2 would be that home game. You want to start establishing something at home. So if I had to pick 2 out of 3, I'd beat the Patriots. I'd lose up in Buffalo and go take it out on the Rams.
8-3 would look very good, Steve. 8-3 would look really, really, really good. And you know how I feel about those last 6 games. And, you know, just when I was thinking Carolina, you know, Canales is doing a good job, they dropped the ball.
Well,
when the Bucs lose,
they
don't get blown out. The Bucs don't get blown out. Well, they haven't this year. They just haven't.
It happens. I mean, as far as I'm not making excuses for Carolina, but they were playing with their backup, Andy Dalton. He can certainly play, but whatever. We'll see how they bounce back. Now, Atlanta was a little bit more surprising. At least Carolina got blown out by the Bills.
Atlanta was at home, right?
Atlanta got killed at home. So was Carolina at home. But Atlanta got killed by the Dolphins.
A team that was floundering.
Yeah.
Absolutely floundering.
Kirk Cousins, Ira, they were talking about, he's back healthy. He looked, I don't think I've seen anything like that before.
Let me make something very simple for the Falcons offensive coordinator. Very simple advice, Steve. 25 touches for Bijan Robinson. That's how you start the game. He's got to get 25 touches. That's your path to victory. And I don't know what they're doing, but in the games they've lost, Robinson's done nothing. He's too good to be a little asterisk side menu.
I got 2 more. Josh Grizzard, do you believe what we saw, that goal line situation twice in a row, do you think that hurt his chances of getting a head coaching job next year?
No, there's too much season left.
Too
much season left.
Number 2, what's going on with the officials with Monday night? They're calling in, they're getting an extra look, they're doing this, and then there's complete nonsense in the Bucs game with an erroneous whistle that nobody obviously heard, and they can't step in and and sort of think about that a little bit more?
In a way, it's an old story, Steve, because people have been talking about officiating forever. Replay accentuates it.
What's the fix?
But it's getting worse. It seems to be getting worse. They got to do some more serious training over here because they're costing some teams games. Luckily, it didn't cost the Bucks yesterday, except for some aggravation for Bowles. Bowles said about as much as he's going to say about it, but he was not happy. He was, you know, and he's very aware of not getting fined.
You know what I'd love to see, and I don't understand why. You know what?
Maybe ownership should step up a little bit.
Well, aside from that, if ownership just talks to Bowles behind the scenes and say, "Look, Todd, let him have it. We'll pay the fine."
That's good, Steve.
Why does that happen more often?
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
that's good.
Let it affect some change. Bowles is on the rules committee,
Some of these mistakes are grievous mistakes, Steve. They're obvious mistakes. Not subtle mistakes. You really wonder what's going on.
Well, we wonder what's going on with you. Are you any good food over the weekend? Did you behave yourself?
No, we went out to see the Springsteen movie on Friday. Nick Puglisi came with us, former sports editor of the Tribune. Went to a sports bar. I had salmon, grilled salmon, Steve. I was a good boy. Of course, Puglisi ordered stuffed mushrooms as an appetizer, and I dipped my beak in there a couple of times. But I'm still down 7 or 8, still hanging in there, moving better on the tennis court. I'm cranking it up, get ready for you at a certain point. We're getting a cold front in, Steve. Might be a good week to get on the hard courts over there. But anyway, and then we went out for Thai food on Saturday, and then we ate at home watching the Bucks on Sunday. Oh, and we're going up to see our son next month.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a little 3-day trip planned to Ohio.
Very nice, very nice. All right, Sage, we'll see you very soon. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, and thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. We always appreciate their support. Florida's Elite Restoration.com, BillCurryFord.com. Go Bucks!